WBEZ's nonprofit spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. There's a lot we don't know yet about how President Biden's withdrawal from the race is going to play out, but we're starting to get a clearer picture. Endorsements and dollars for Kamala Harris continue to pour in. Members of the party say excitement is growing, and a majority of delegates have pledged to vote for her in a virtual roll call starting August 1st. So how are delegates from Illinois feeling in this unprecedented time, and how are they preparing for a historic convention? To find out, I sat with a panel of them: Dan Montgomery, president of the Illinois Federation of Teachers, Rory Hoskins, mayor of the town of Forest Park, and Alex Zapian, supervisor of Lockport Township near Joliet. We're in the middle of a lot of uncertainty, so I did start off by asking Alex how he's feeling about that. Here he is.
I will say there's a saying that says we keep going through unprecedented times, and that is true. It seems like every other week or even every month, there seems to be a new unprecedented event. And I think that's really a good way to describe it. You know, at first, when I heard the news that President Biden was stepping down and, you know, redacted his candidacy, I was very surprised. And I do think that it takes a lot of humility for him to do that. And I do think that'll be a part of his legacy, that he really kind of stepped aside to make sure we as a party remain united, because, you know, the main goal here is to make sure we don't get Donald Trump elected. Now with Kamala Harris coming in, I am extremely excited, right? There's a lot of first. So for me, like, this will be my first convention ever, and it's going to be in Chicago. And you know, I'm a younger person. So the fact that this is coming to here, my home state.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we'll be hoping to nominate Kamala Harris, you know, hopefully the first woman president ever and the first woman of color, is just historic.
Yeah, this is uncommon, Mayor Hoskins, for a candidate, as I said, to drop out of the race this close to an election. The Democratic Party, though, is trying to create as much certainty around this process of selecting a nominee as possible. So is it feeling to you like things are starting to settle into place?
Absolutely. Similar to Alex, all I'm seeing is excitement, you know, from party activists, from elected officials, from peers, from family members across the country. Everyone is looking forward to this convention. On a personal note, I was a 2020 Biden delegate, and we didn't get a convention.
Yeah, so you had to do it virtually,
so
right?
I was already looking forward to a convention in Chicago, but it's going to be that much more historic and that much more monumental.
Dan, you're on the line with us right now. You're at the American Federation of Teachers Conference in Texas. Yesterday, as a national union, the AFT did endorse Harris. So just take us to the floor of the conference, if you will. What was the mood?
Oh, yeah, sure, Sasha. So, yeah, we're in Houston. So you got thousands of AFT delegates from around the country. We have about 250 of our Illinois teachers and staff there. Ecstatic, rapturous. I mean, you know, it's all been really tense the last few weeks, right? And there was really no debate, and people weren't saying, oh, we should have an open convention. I think people recognize the achievements of the Biden-Harris administration, what Kamala has done. And so, I mean, we did a special order first thing in the morning yesterday. And again, we had an Illinois breakfast for our delegates, and we talked about it. And I said, look, this is historic, what the opportunity we have. And we had international guests also from other countries, and they were floored at the buzz, the excitement, what we're all feeling. So, we're doing a special order this morning, thanking President Biden. I mean, he's been the best president for labor and working people in my lifetime. probably in American history, in my opinion. Mm. So it's an exciting time, and I think we're all really looking forward to her wrapping up the nomination, which is only going to happen here, if not already, just in terms of commitments.
Alex, you mentioned your excitement before for Kamala Harris as the Democratic nominee. Is that what you're hearing amongst your peers?
Yes, and you know, I echo what my fellow delegates are saying. And one thing, too, to add in a bit of a youth perspective is I have a lot of friends who aren't involved in the political, you know, in the political arena. You know, I have friends that work in the nonprofit sector, corporate America, et cetera. And going into the election, you know, before the news, you know, I heard a lot of folks that said they weren't really excited for the election. I had some folks, you know, they're all Democrats or moderates, and they said, you know, we'll go out and vote, or, but, you know, we'll vote for the Democratic candidate, we'll vote, but we're not really excited. And I had some folks that were saying, you know, I don't really feel like voting. But ever since then, the news about Kamala Harris, my phone was blowing up. Everyone's saying, we're so excited to go out to vote.
And so listeners are clear, like, how old are these friends that you're referring to?
In my age, mid-20s.
Mid-20s.
And, you know, we often see that young people aren't really a huge group, that they're very vocal, but they don't necessarily go out to vote. But here I have waves of friends saying, we're so excited to go out to vote.
Mayor Hoskins, what are you hearing from your constituents?
My constituents are very excited. My peers, like I said, we're nonpartisan elected officials on the village level, but everyone's excited. My assistant, you know, she was bringing me in. Oh, you're going to WBEC. My 81-year-old aunt from Houston is calling me. You know, my cousins from California. Everybody is excited.
Yeah. In the news coverage of the RNC last week, Dan, there's one word that kept coming up, and that was that the delegates and the party were unifying around Trump. Does that put pressure on Democrats to also rally around a nominee?
Well, I don't know if that puts pressure on us. I would say, I mean, what you've seen is an instant kind of, I mean, the race has completely changed in a moment here. We all have unified, delegates have unified around the country for Kamala. You see the reportage that she's actually got enough commitments now to wrap up the nomination. You know, I'm an elected delegate from CD9, which is Jan Schakowsky's district. And so we're all like on a text chain. And the minute the president announced, we were all just spontaneously saying to each other, we're for Kamala, right? You know, and it was like that organic. So I think the pressure here is this is a high stakes election. Mm-hmm. And the pressure is on every American to go and work and elect a president who's going to be out there, Kamala, work for working people and for a sustainable democracy that follows our norms, restoring dignity to the president versus, you know, Trump. That's to me, that's the pressure. Pressure is like we got to organize. And I can just tell you in talking with our delegates already, I mean, our AFT delegates here, like we're all talking about the work. Mm-hmm. We're all talking about what we're going to do, what we're going to do in Illinois. Our people want to go to Wisconsin. They want to go to Michigan and make a difference. So this is really energizing.
Yeah. Speaking of the organization of things, Mayor Hoskins, you know, to give some specific numbers to what Dan was just referring to, Harris got pledges of support for more than 2,688 delegates out of the 4,000. So much more than she needed. How is Vice President Harris drumming up support among delegates? Like, how has the party reached out to you?
Sure. So lots of emails, lots of phone calls. But, you know, there's just, like I said, so much excitement. I keep saying that. But, you know, contrast us with the Republican convention. They had Kid Rock, right? Beyonce gave Vice President Harris permission to use her song. So we're going to have much better entertainment at our convention. And that just shows the level of excitement, enthusiasm, and the broad base of support that the vice president will enjoy. And our delegation looks like Illinois, and it looks like Chicago. You're going to see people of all colors, all ages. You'll hear lots of languages in our convention hall, unlike the convention that took place in Milwaukee.
What's the communication been like with the Democratic Party, in your view, Alex?
Yes, so similar to what the mayor was saying, I've also received lots of phone calls. Specifically, there was an email asking many of the delegates in an email chain to endorse Kamala Harris. And from the folks that I know that are nearby circle, it was an immediate and resounding yes.
Yeah. Does the energy going into this one feel different to you, Dan? As you mentioned, you've been to multiple conventions.
Yeah, I have. My first one was as an Obama delegate in 12. Completely. I mean, I really can't emphasize this enough, like the historic feeling of this. I mean, the way people are talking about it, it's a complete shift. You know, everybody loves Joe Biden in the Democratic Party. And I think most Americans actually, you know, really feel like he's a person who sort of saved us and righted the ship. But the feeling right now, it feels generational to Alex's point earlier about younger people. I have three kids who are in their younger 20s, and completely, they're excited. So those, you know, I think that's real.
Yeah.
It's real.
Well, security tends to be pretty tough at these conventions. But I wonder, Dan, if there's increased worry this time around, given the recent assassination attempt.
Yeah, I mean, I personally haven't thought of that. I mean, I think the whole country was sensitized to that, a couple weeks ago from the Pennsylvania assassination attempt. I'm confident there's going to be tremendous security on all the candidates. So I'm not really worried about that. I'm worried about us unifying as a nation and calling for, getting like... There's on the Republican side, there's no discussion about an agenda going forward, how you help working people. And I feel like that's what the Democrats have to do, is make that clear how we're going to do that going forward. I think they've got better ideas. And I think Kamala is going to be a much more effective, at this point, messenger, a much more vigorous messenger.
WBEZ's nonprofit spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
While I have you all here, I want to dig more into the process a bit. So in early August, as I mentioned, delegates are going to participate in a virtual roll call to officially nominate Harris. Can you tell us more about that, Alex? Why is it necessary?
Sure. So I know there's a lot of talk about the virtual roll call, and the exact date is to be determined, but it's supposed to happen before August 7th because several states have ballot measures, specifically one, you know, Ohio, where in order to, you know, prevent any potential legal challenges and make sure the, you know, the new nominee, the presidential candidate, will be on the ballot, there needs to be an official or formal nomination process made before then. So, you know, the party is organizing that. It will be held over, you know, likely Zoom, and it'll be coming, you know, in the next few weeks.
Now, it seems likely Harris won't be opposed, but there is still a chance that someone could appear on the virtual ballot, right?
That is correct. It could potentially happen. However, seeing how just Harris, how well, you know, she is doing, and how everything is just falling into place so nicely, and how there's just this tremendous amount of unity and support, I can't imagine she'd have any, you know, actual you know, contender
opposition.
Against her opposition.
Mayor Hoskins, the Democratic Party has ruled out an open convention where we would head into August without a clear nominee. Some say that this is more Democratic because it presents delegates with several options. Even before the party announced this yesterday, it wasn't something that you favored. Why not?
Because time is of the essence, right? We only have about 4 months. Campaigns are complicated things. There's the fundraising, there's the staffing that goes along with that, selecting leadership, getting buy-in from the grassroots, from the various constituent groups that sort of make up the pillars of the Democratic Party, whether you're talking about labor or education or, you know, our friends in Hollywood. And there are any number of opinions on, you know, who should be the candidate. So I'm glad that we're all coalescing around Vice President Harris. She's earned it. She's been loyal to the president, President Biden. And we all know her, right? All the Democrats know her. We know her accomplishments. And I think she's ready, and we're just really ready to go and work for her.
So there does seem to be that jolt of energy that we've discussed going into this contest, but I do have to ask the question that is on a lot of people's minds. Given that Harris's 2020 presidential bid did fizzle out, do you think that she can beat Donald Trump? I want to hear from all of you. You first, Dan.
Absolutely, unequivocally, yes. I'm confident of it. 2020, that was, you know, four years is a long time in electoral politics in this country. And she's been the sitting vice president. I think, you know, the context is very, very different. And you've already seen, there's already been some polls showing her up. I think the convention, you know, typically, I mean, it was interesting. Trump did not get a convention boost at his convention. I think he's got a floor of support in this country. And we know there's a big chunk of people who are still undecided. And those people in my opinion, will be very attracted to Kamala's presidency. So, I'm confident of it. I think it's exciting and energizing.
So we have a yes from Dan, Mayor Hoskins.
The Republicans don't know how to talk about the vice president. We're already seeing the insensitive language out there, whether it's sexist language or racist language. You have a congressman who called her a DEI hire. You have people saying horrible things about her. And it's going to turn off the middle. It's going to turn off independents. It's going to turn off women. So, yes, she can win.
Alex, can she beat Donald Trump?
Definitely yes. Definitely yes. I will say I think we're seeing the Democratic Party unify very quickly and very strongly behind an extremely qualified candidate. And to that point, again, what like the mayor said, the Republicans, they don't know how to attack her outside of just demeaning insults, which I think will also turn off independent voters. And then beyond that as well, I think 2020 was also just a different time. There's a lot at stake now. You know, we have the Supreme Court passing and making some questionable decisions, and people are very scared about the future. And I think there's just a lot at stake here. And I think that's what's going for her.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Linnea Dominic, Ellie Gilbert-Bear, and Jules Yeager. It was edited by Meha Ahmed and mixed by Max Lubbers. Especially in times like this, we're reminded the news cycle can feel intense. We offer you a chance to dive into the nuance. Check out our full archive of conversations at wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thanks for listening. We'll talk again tomorrow.
My name is Liz, and as a teacher, I think that WBEZ provides endless sources that I can bring back to my students where they can also engage in a deeper understanding. I teach government, I teach U.S. history, and I have used sources from WBEZ in order to help enrich the understanding of my students.